song to sing.
Come on. Testify. That's right. That's right.
I wouldn't want to go behind those.
To testify. Man, I like them lightning bolts, too. I'm telling you. That's right. He had that cut. He was going to do something, right? Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Remind me of a Z for zealousness, too. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That went right along with our reading, didn't it?
Amen.
Isn't that what Colossians 3 said? That Christ, who is our life.
Amen.
Let this mind be in us. That mind, that heavenly mindset. He is our life. And he prefaced it like that. If you be raised, since you raised with him, you're hidden with him. When he returns, when he appears, you will appear in glory with him. Amen.
Amen.
He is our life. I was going to read something in the front part of the service, but I'm going to go ahead and just do it right now. It is out of the Psalms, and it just goes along with the boy's song as they testified. I love this idea of what David gives us insight on to praise God. It's out of Psalm 145. It's not where we're going to be, but I considered stepping up right off the bat and just reading it as we walked into worship. And then with them singing, you know, we in turn respond back with the testimony of declaring his deeds of what he's done. And aren't we glad of the cross? Amen?
Amen.
So Psalm 145 reads like this: I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of your might, or the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. For the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear them, and he'll hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145. What a word. Amen?
Amen.
What a word. Well, good morning, Brethren, it is good to see you today. I want you to take your revelation that you brought with you and turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. We just wrapped up with our time in Colossians. We have already transitioned into the book of Philippians. And we'll tie some things in together possibly this morning with the word to the church at Philippi. And this word to the brethren there at Colossae. And I think we'll look at a couple of other places like Philemon and Timothy. We're going to look at an idea, something that we want to ponder and think about on how to finish well. It's important, our starting, no doubt. It's fundamental. The way we start this journey with the Lord is the beginning of it. You can't start it any other way than building on a foundation that's already been laid in Christ and what the apostles have laid in the teaching of the Newer Testament and how all these things as examples from the Older Testament come to life to us. But finishing that race and finishing strong, finishing well, is of the utmost importance. And something that is not easily picked up on when we read the scriptures, if we're not careful, we'll miss something here. The Bible mentions this guy Demas. Y'all noticed that as we were closing out the book of Colossians yesterday. It talks about Demas. And it refers to Demas in Colossians. It speaks of Demas in Philemon, and Paul speaks of Demas again in 2 Timothy. And within each of these letters, we find something going on with Demas that is obvious to the apostle and those around them, and we see a progression with him not finishing well. Something happened on the journey in his walk, and something that we don't want to happen to us. You don't want to, I don't want to, we don't want to be plagued with what was going on with Demas in his journey. So I think it would be important for us to examine some things specifically as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae on that will help us deal with some things in our own walk, in our own life, that will help solidify us as we steadfastly are running this race that God has given us, so that as we see the finish line, as we see the goal, where we headed, we run harder than we ran when we started. You see, Demas didn't run as hard as he got closer to the finish line. I was listening to an older message that went back years ago, and I referred to an illustration, a story that I read about an older gentleman. He was way up in age. And that gentleman who was way up in age had a routine that he did on a consistent basis every day. Rose up early. He sought the face of God and he launched out. And this was in the days before there was cars. This was in the days before there was modern day transportation. So when he would launch out and go on his routine, he would walk or he would go by horseback. But every single day of his adult life as a child of God, he had an assignment from the Lord that he was a devotion giver. He would go from place to place and he would give devotions on a consistent daily basis. And as he got up into his 90s, people began to question him on why was he still rising up early? Why was he still walking or going on horseback to carry this message to these people that he's done that all his life? It's time for somebody else to step in there. And why was he so zealous? His response or his answer was, he says, as he gets closer to the finish line, he can't help but run harder. Come on. Have you ever been in a race before and you know what I mean? When you can see the finish line, you may not win that race, but you're going to pull out everything you can when you have paced yourself to get to that finish line. When you see it and you know it's coming, you kick it up a notch and want to finish out well. Well, that wasn't Demas. He didn't do that. And whether he recognized it or not, I don't know. Whether he knew what was happening within him, I am not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. It only gives us the indications that Paul recognized and those that were with them recognized a something happening in his life where his faithfulness became in question. His reliability was questioned. His commitment to the things of God and the people of God were waning as he got closer to the finish line. And I want to tell you, some of us are closer to the finish line today than we were yesterday. Amen.
Amen.
Every day we're getting closer to it. Amen.
Amen.
So there's no room in us to be slacking, and we want to learn how to solidify our lives and keep that from happening with us. What can we do? What can your pastor do? What can you do? What can we do together? And I think we have some answers that we find in these messages that will really be a tremendous help to us if we really want to finish well. Now, if you don't want to finish well, you won't. Amen. It's just that simple. If that's not in your radar, until God does something in your heart, until God does something within you to pull you out of where you are, you're not going to finish well. And you don't want to be a disgrace to yourself. You don't want to be a disgrace to the King. You don't want to be a disgrace to the body of Christ. You want to be a finisher. You want to finish. Because he's promised to complete what he started. Amen.
Amen.
Didn't he promise that?
Amen.
You had to worry about that. He's going to do his part. But will I position my part to finish well? Following through. Well, let's just look. He gives us some indication of this in Colossians 4, looking about verse number 7. Now, I won't pronounce all these names because some of these names are tough for this old Louisiana boy to say. So me and Danny are going to keep our mouths shut on some of them. We might just refer to them as Bubba. Y'all be good with that? You read them for what they are. I may just say Bubba, like this first fella in verse number 7. Let's just say Bubba. Bubba was the deliverer. He was bringing the word. How you say that name? Tychicus, Bubba. A beloved brother. Beloved. Now pay attention to that. He was a beloved brother. Also referred to as what? A faithful servant, a faithful minister. Also a fellow servant, what? Man, Paul is really giving great commendation to this man, this great affirmation. Beloved, faithful, and a fellow servant, a co-laborer in the work of the Lord. These are all tremendous accolades or affirmations that anybody can receive as being part of the family of God. Just being described as being a faithful servant of the Lord. What Paul did was send him back. Now, Paul's in prison. He tells us that. Paul's in prison when he writes this. He has some fellow prisoners with him, but he has some people around him that he can send. He wanted to get a letter. He wanted to get this message back to Colossae. Also, he wanted to get the same word to Laodicea and to Areopolis. And he said, everybody that has not seen my face, I want them to have this message. Well, guess what? That would include who? Me and you. Amen? Is this word for us?
Amen.
It sure is. So let's what he's going to tell us. He says, this guy is going to tell you about me, what's been going on with me. Then he says in verse 8, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he also may know your condition, your circumstance, where you're at, and based on what's going on in your life, he is coming alongside to comfort you.
Amen.
In that. That's just the work that we do together. Now, to do that, you got to be with one another. Amen?
Amen.
That's why Paul was sending him to do that, to know what was going on in his life, and then take the truths and the works of God and then apply them in what was happening. He's also sending with him to do the same thing as who? Onesimus. Who is Onesimus? He's mentioned in another letter, Remember, he was a slave that belonged to Philemon. He escaped Philemon and found himself in Rome. And while in Rome, he had an encounter with the Apostle Paul. And while in Rome, as a fugitive, as a slave of Philemon's, Paul preached the gospel to the man. The man was born again, transformed and changed. Now the man is ready to go back to Colossae, because that's where Philemon was at. He was in Colossae. He's ready to go back and go see Colossae and continue to do the work that God called him to do. Now, the whole letter of Philemon, we're not going to get into that, but you know the story. We've talked about it. We went through it. You've read through it. Paul basically told him, Philemon, you have a debt. You owe me, and I'm telling you, I'm sending this man back. He wasn't useful to you. I understand that at one time, but now he is. And not only is he useful, will be useful for you, but he's been useful for me. He's been a blessing to me. And whatever you do for him, you do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord as you're doing it unto me. Because you and I have this good relationship, and I want you to receive him back in good fellowship. So this Onesimus is going back. Well, he called him what? A faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, that is, he's from Colossae as well, they, Bubba and Onesimus, will make known to you all the things that are happening here. Not only what's going on with Paul, but what's also going on with the body of Christ in Rome. And then we have this guy, Aristarchus. He's going to be mentioned as well in another letter, in Philemon's letter. He says, he's my fellow prisoner, greets you along with who? Mark, or Marcus, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, you do what? You welcome him. Why? Because Marcus didn't start out as well. He started out on the journey, but he stumbled. Remember when he was with Paul? And Marcus took off and he left them because he wasn't going to go through what they had to go through. He seen enough and said, I'm going back to Jerusalem. Y'all some crazy cats. Now, y'all getting in trouble everywhere we go. I'm tired of going to jail. I'm going back to Jerusalem. And Paul and Barnabas, which Marcus was his cousin, when they took out to go on another journey, Barnabas said, let's bring Marcus with us. And Paul said, no, he's not going with me anymore. He's done proven himself unreliable. Well, Barnabas and Paul had a big major discussion about it. And Barnabas said, well, I'll take him with me. And Paul said, well, good, I'll take Silas with me. And they split ways and they both went and shared the gospel. Amen. Now, Paul is having to clarify, because that word got out about Mark. That word got out about his unreliability. Don't be messing with him. He'll let you down. Well, now Paul is saying, hey, you had instructions about him. If he comes, you welcome him. He's gotten some things right, and he's ready to go to work. You take him into fellowship. Amen?
Amen.
And then Paul says this. If he comes to you, welcome. Verse 11, and Jesus, this is the guy's name, who is also called Justice, which I don't blame you. If you had the name Jesus, you wouldn't be want to be called Jesus. If all you hung out with Jesus' people, you'd probably want to go by another name. Are you with me? So they know him as Justice. And these were all Jews. Each one he's just mentioned. They were Jews. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Now that's a great word there, isn't it?
Amen.
They have proven themselves to be a great comfort to me. Not a frustration to me. Now Marcus was at one point, but he's gotten some things right. He started off slow, but he's getting to the finish line and he's running harder now. He can see it. So he ain't slipping. He's running so that he can run through or slide through the finish line in the end, and he can do it faithfully. And out of all the Jews out there, Paul said, these are the only men I have that are of the circumcision that I can count on because they've proven themselves faithful. Now, that's a great word, but also a sad commentary.
Amen.
That all the Jews that who could have potentially professed to be part of the kingdom of God, but didn't find themselves reliable, Paul was saying, yeah, I know that what they say, but there's no, they haven't proven themselves to be faithful, that they would run this race all the way through. So I don't have any more to send you, but this is who, will, when they come, you can receive them. Why? Because the Gentile world and the Jewish world were at enmity with one another, and the only thing that reconciled them was Jesus. And Paul wanted them to know that, yes, they are Jews, but Jesus has done a work in them, and they will be safe. You can fellowship with them. These are faithful brethren. Man, this is a great word. We want to be, how many of y'all want to be known as faithful?
Amen.
Called beloved by those that really know what it means to be beloved and faithful and reliable and testifying to the reliability of the word. Now, he goes on to say this, verse 12, Epaphras, which was belonged to them. Epaphras was their pastor there at Colossae, who left Colossae to go visit with Paul, but Paul's not sending him back yet. He's sending these other guys back. And he says, Epaphras, who's one of you, a bond slave, a servant of Christ, he greets you. He's always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and be filled or complete, overflowing in all the will of God. This was a man who had a heart for those at Colossae, at Laodicea, and Areopolis. He had a burden for the people. And he did what Paul said in chapter 1, verse 28, we labor and strive to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This man prayed. Paul said, I can testify that when I'm with him and he prays for y'all. And when he prays for y'all, he is praying that God would fill you to the brim and overflow out of your life, that you will know and walk in the will of God. All God's saints that are right with God, when they pray for God's people, it's always praying in accordance with God's will. And God's will is that his people overflow with Jesus. Not no partial fulfillment, but overflow. Hadn't you noticed that when you're reading through in the New Testament? It's always be filled with the Spirit. Let the Word of God dwell what? Richly within you so it overflows out of you. That you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will. Everything we see God leading His men to pray is always a filling that we overflow out of our life. And you don't want anything short of that, amen? Because anything short of that is cheap. Anything short of that is earthly. Anything short of that has don't have heaven on it. You want to overflow out of your life with Jesus.
Amen.
And we need to be praying for each one. I need you to pray that I overflow with Jesus.
Yeah.
I need to be praying that you overflow with Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
That we overflow with him in our life. Now watch. Verse 13. For I bear him witness that he has a great zealousness for you. There's a zeal in him for you. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is at work in him for you and those at Laodicea and those in Areopolis. Verse 14, Luke, that is the writer of the Gospel of Luke as well as the book of Acts. He refers to him as what? The beloved physician. And then he says who? Demas. Greet you. Now you notice the pattern there. And when Paul gives these patterns and these closing remarks about these men, he's consistent. This is a consistent thing with him. He is affirming all these other men and their work, referring to them as faithful or beloved or steadfast, these ministers. He's always saying something, but when he comes to Demas, he don't have anything to say other than Demas. Paul was seeing something in Demas that Demas possibly was not even seeing himself. Look in Philemon. Philemon was written prior to Colossians, somewhere between a year to 2 years prior. So we see in something, if you go past Thessalonians, go past Timothy and Titus, you'll come to Philemon. And look toward the close of Philemon. So prior to Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, Demas was with him as he wrote back to set Onesimus up with Philemon again. And this is what he says about Demas. So this was the first time Demas is mentioned in the scriptures. This was on the first going together. Verse 23 says, Epaphras, remember he's from there, he's from Colossae, my prisoner in Christ, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, he greets you, as do Mark. Here's this other guy that we already mentioned in Colossae. You know, all these guys have already been mentioned. Aristarchus, Demas, here he is, Luke, and notice how he describes these five men. They are my what? Fellow laborers. They are co-laborers with me in the gospel. Co-laborers. So Demas initially was seen as what? A co-laborer. A fellow laborer in the work, as these other men were. But when Paul writes back from Colossae, there was something going on in his journey, in his walk, that brought into question that Paul could not affirm him other than just mention his name. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll see what was happening in Demas' life. 2 Timothy, go back a couple books. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look in verse number 9. Paul was asking for his faithful son in the ministry, Timothy, to come see him. Paul is now, this is sometime carrying from when Philemon was written, when Paul was in prison there in Rome. Onesimus was with him. Onesimus got out. He was sending him back with this letter to Philemon. Obviously, Onesimus, by the direction of Philemon under his covering, had permission to go back to Paul in Rome. So while in Rome again, Paul has a letter for the church at Colossae in Laodicea, so he sends him back. We tell him with a couple years here. But now Paul is in a dungeon. He's in a different place than what he was then, and we're dealing with anywhere from 4 to 6 years later. So we got a gap in there, anywhere from a 4 to 6 year gap in time frame. So he says this, verse number 9, be diligent to come to me quickly. For who? Demas has done what? Forsaken me, or forsaken us is the idea. Why did he forsake them? Why did he abandon them? Why did he leave them off, depart? He said he left because he what? Loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. He what? He loved this present world. The word world there is eon. It means the age. He loved the times. He finally got to the place, it was already starting to notice in him that something wasn't right with him, so Paul couldn't say anything good about him other than he greeted him. But now it's gotten to the place where he's done said, I could care less. I've had enough of it, I'm out of here. And he had an affection, a fondness, a love for this present evil world. Now this age, remember this age doesn't factor God into everyday living. So that's basically saying that he forsook the ways of God and he went after a world that God was not involved in. And he proved exactly what everybody around him already noticed. He started out and instead of stoking the flame, the fires, cultivating that within his life, you know what carried him along, Brother Shannon? Inertia. Yeah. Inertia. When I was on that big ship, there were times that we would do drills and there were times that it would happen that we would lose power, for an example, in a steam room. Like we would go dark down there. The fires would go out. And even though we would lose power, you know what that ship continued to do? it continued to sail because of the weight. The inertia carried it, Brother Shannon, for a long way.
Amen.
Even though those up top may not recognize that we lost engine power down there, because they couldn't hear it, they couldn't feel it. The ship just kept sailing. But the whole time we were dead in the water, but the motion that we was in carried us further. And carried us further. Kind of like a train. Brother Billy, you have driven trains. Did you ever drive one that was coal fed? Well, I understand, but I didn't know if you, because there's still trains out there that they do. You've been around those, you've seen those before in some of these historical places. If that train was chucking along at, say, 25, 30 mile an hour, and it had 50, 60, 70, maybe 100 cars behind it, and they lost fires back in that engine room, would those on that train notice it right off the bat, or would that train continue to carry them? If there was no braking on it, it would what? Inertia would carry it for, how far possibly would it carry before it slowed down?
Level, it'd probably go a mile maybe.
It'd just, the inertia would continue to carry that, kind of like a car. Y'all been in a car and you just coasted it before? That speed you was on just Demas was coasting. But everybody around them noticed something ain't right. He didn't necessarily possibly even recognize it, but there was no zealousness. There was no filling up within him. And it got to the point when the train come to a stop, the ship stopped in the water, the car couldn't coast no longer because it was on level ground. It wasn't going down a hill. What happens is, he said, he put it in park, got out the car and said, y'all can have it. I'm going after what I want. You, as well as I, we all have to guard ourselves from coasting and not fueling the fires. Start giving up a little bit of this and start giving up a little bit of that. Pastors, everywhere I go, y'all know I go a lot and get to go places and teach and preach. And I go to a church, and a lot of times I've been to churches 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times. And there was somebody there in that church. And for the first couple times I went, they were there for every service. And then 4 years into it, I see them on a Sunday morning, but they wouldn't come back for a Sunday night, or they wouldn't come back on a Monday night, and they didn't come back on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. And I asked the pastor, is anything going on with old Joe Smuccatelli? And they said, well, they just, something happened, and it's got them all out of whack right now. And, but they'll be back. Couple years later, I'm back at that church again, and I look out and I'm looking for old Joe Smuccatelli. And Joe Smuccatelli ain't there.
I
asked the pastor, I said, where's old Joe Smuccatelli? And he says, well, I know you asked me this 3 years ago, but Joe Smuccatelli came for a little bit, but he coasted through. Now I don't see Joe Smuccatelli no more. We've gone to him, we've talked to him. He's had enough. He knows more than we all do. He said he's done. That was Demas. That's Demas. That's the plague of Demas. Started out running. Started letting little bitty things creep in to the race. And he started looking around. He started looking at the, not the course, not the finish line. He started looking out what was off of the course. And before you know it, that which was off of the course had more appeal than the course itself.
Yeah.
He didn't run harder to the finish line. Matter of fact, he stopped, gave up, and he went home. I can remember, Brother Shannon can testify, old Brother Bill. Y'all miss Brother Bill?
Amen.
I miss old Brother Bill's sweet spirit. But that boy used to cry as he would pray for our church fellowship and for our community. And he said, look, our folks used to ask God to send a teacher and preacher that would teach us the Word of God. And God sent us somebody and they won't even come. And it broke his heart. It burdened him. He was burdened with that even in his death. But you know what? He stayed the course though, didn't he?
Amen.
He stayed the course unto the end. If y'all paid attention to it, even though he may not recognize it, we didn't know that he wouldn't be with us anymore. But you know, as he got closer to that finish line that we couldn't see, Bill's passion for people and the things of God were more zealous than they were when I first came here.
Amen. Amen.
Were. And boy, that still blesses me today. Amen. Demas let things steal his heart. And man, it cost him. We don't want to be there. Amen.
Amen.
So this is what we want to do. We want to pray. Now we're running out of time. We'll come back tonight. We'll come back tonight. But what was it? Brother Shannon, you drink some water for me. Ain't never been open. I didn't drink out of it. Praise God. Well, I don't know. Let me see that thing. You get you a good sip? Get you one more so everybody can see it. Now I got some ditch water. Hold that thing up. Look at that right there.
I see it.
You see all that stuff floating around in it?
It's not going to get drunk anymore.
Why not?
Because I don't want it in there if I'm going to drink it.
So what I just did was contaminate that water.
Amen.
Isn't that what Paul's been telling us in Colossians? He said, don't let anything spoil you. Don't let anything contaminate what God has done. God's made you complete. Amen.
Come on.
Don't let anything contaminate. And that's what we're going to look at tonight on some things that Paul dealt with. He said, God's already dealt with this. We probably got five or six of them in Colossians alone to help us stay the course, to finish well, to finish well, finish strong, to finish strong.
Amen.
So we don't get contaminated. Now, aren't you glad that if you do get contaminated, y'all think, here, Brother Shannon, hold this right here. Hold that thing. I got some of this hand cleaner, some sanitizer. I'm going to fix this. Take that lid off.
Uh-huh.
Here. We cleaning this up.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Hold on.
That alcohol just don't want to mix.
You want to drink it?
No, sir. I quit drinking alcohol a long time ago.
So me trying to add something in like that's supposed to clean it up didn't actually clean it up, did it?
No.
You see, that's that idea with the cares of all this life in this world that you get caught up with. You get contaminated, so you start looking at everything else out there and you neglect the priority of the only one and the only thing that can get you right again. And that's Jesus. And you start adding other stuff, and all it does is it just messes you up.
Worse.
Makes you worse.
Worse.
Makes it worse on us. Are you with me?
Come on.
This is what we see. I'm willing to say that as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, what was going on in Demas' life, Paul had him in mind as well as everybody else of what he was writing about to help get Demas back on track again, that the man would be on fire for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
You know what? It didn't work.
Yeah.
It didn't work. You know what Demas could have said? Now you think about that. Do you think Demas was around one of the best, if not the best teacher and preacher outside of Jesus Christ that the kingdom of God has ever known? Did that make a difference in Demas's journey? Not when he got his eyes, what? Off of the Lord Didn't matter who he was with. Didn't matter who was teaching him. Didn't matter how much he was taught. It didn't put him back on track because he was coasting. And his mind had already been made up of what he thought about all these things. It was just a matter of time before it was really revealed to everybody. And I'm sure he had a lot of excuses of why.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just not being loved well. I'm just not being taught well. I'm just not. I'm mad. You think he ever threatened them? If y'all don't stay off of me, I'm leaving. Good possibility, huh?
Yeah.
Good possibility. Well, if you don't get this, I'm going somewhere else. If you don't have this going on, I'm leaving, going over there. All that is just what? Indicators that you can't see the finish line.
Amen.
Man, I need help. Amen?
Amen.
I need help. How many of y'all need help? How many of you need reviving? We all do. Day by day. Day by day. Father, we thank you. We ask you to help us with this. We want you to water us, Lord. We want to be in a position to receive it, that we would just be covered up and overflowing and filled up with you, what you have for us, and what you have called us to walk in. That our love would overflow into our brother and sister. That our ways will prove to be faithful in the journey, and that we totally are resting and relying upon you to see us through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that pray. Thank you for those that pray for one another and ask you to do what you do in filling your people up. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, y'all hear that? What? All the way. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I brought this old plant in here. This is that plant Janet was watering for me. Janet, these plants hard to water? They are hard to water. They are hard to water. They are hard to water. What it is, this old girl has done got too big for her britches. She's swole up in there, and she's got coming out. The bulb and all that's coming out. She gets dry, and when you pour water on her, all she does is run off. Just run off. And so we'll talk a little bit about it tonight, what God does with, satiating our life. Amen. Y'all know there's an Old Testament word we see means satisfy. We read it in Jeremiah 31. We read it in other places, but it is the word, you pronounce it like that, satiate. It means to be well watered and satisfied from above. So we could say it like that, satiate. Well, she ate and she's full as a tick. Are you with me? Y'all ever been that away? Y'all say that with me. Say she ate. She ate and she's fat as a tick. Amen? Swole up like a tick. We want to be swole up.
Amen.
With the Lord and what he feeds, his water. Amen? So we can say she ate. Say she ate. Yeah, she ate and she swole up with what she ate. She's satisfied. She's content. You ever just felt like wallering like a hog after you ate? We want to live in that kind of way where God just keeps feeding us with his goodness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody have anything before we go today?
God's so good.
Woo, yes, he is, Carolyn.
Jessica's testimony on the news this week blessed me.
That was sweet. That was good stuff. That was good stuff. Yes. Praise God. The little boy was found. Amen. Praise God, he was found. We talked a little bit about it Wednesday night, that same principle. You know, we put it out on the prayer list there, but in Luke, look, something was lost, something was found, and they celebrated what was found. Amen? That's that picture. Just like all heaven rejoices when somebody gets right with God, there's a celebration in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Mize, Cade, thank y'all for helping us and reminding us of that anointed one, Christ, who came and died for us. Amen.
Amen.
He is our life. I sure appreciate it. And Kate, I want you to tell your grandma and grandpa, Brother Nick said hello, if you would. Don't forget that, okay? You'll do that for me?
They have set and colored every family in here a picture.
Awesome. They got y'all something up here. They'll give it out to you before you leave. Amen. Good deal. Good deal. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? The King's good. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Shannon, close us, if you would, with a word of prayer today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for watching over this church family. We've had many that are in and out of surgery of late. And we thank you for our results that has come to them that has been beneficial.
Amen.
Lord, we have many in our church that are hurting from our family member's sake. We ask you to comfort them and alongside of them and lift them up and encourage them.
Yes.
Lord, help us as Christians to lift each other up and come alongside each other and say, we love you.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus, we know you love us. In thy name.
Amen and amen. Love y'all. Love y'all.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, Carolyn. Yeah. 5 o'clock. Oh, sweet hugs. Got to get another one. Oh, boy. Thank y'all for the sweet hugs.